You are listening to the Improv Save My Life podcast, brought to you on Bits, the Boston Improv Talk Station. Hey guys, it's Tom. This following podcast, there's a fan that I didn't realize was getting picked up in the background. So it's kind of, you can hear it throughout the whole episode. I apologize, but it's a really good episode. So check it out anyway. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Welcome to episode 84 of the Improv Save My Life podcast. I'm your host, Tom Boyer. This podcast is brought to you on Bits, the Boston Improv Talk Station. Two guests today comprising the independent improv troupe Belgian Waffles. I have Courtney Standish and Clara
van de Weert.
I didn't even want to try. I would have butchered it. And it would have probably would have been offensive. So, so that's an interesting last name for America, I suppose. Since you're not American, correct?
No, I'm the Belgian half of Belgian Waffles.
So you grew up in Belgium?
Uh-huh.
How long did you live there?
I lived there for 21 years.
21 years.
Mm-hmm.
Did you speak English for your whole life?
No, actually. I'm a Dutch speaker, so I grew up speaking Dutch.
Dutch is the language of Belgium?
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's one of the... Belgium has three official languages, Dutch, French, and German.
Okay.
And a slight majority of people speak Dutch.
Cool.
It's a very complicated country.
Meanwhile, if I may say so, Clara is one of the most fluent English speakers I've ever met, including, like, all native English speakers. Like, truly.
So, is Belgium a lot different culturally growing up than the States?
Well, that's hard to say for me because I've only lived in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Boston is pretty similar, but I think other parts of the U.S. are very different. But moving from Belgium to here was not a huge culture shock for me. There were small things, like the... I think I told Courtney once about how the "Hey, how are you doing? Hey, how are you doing?" exchange was hard for me, and how people wouldn't stand still while doing that, but just keep walking. And I had to practice for a really long time to get that down. I would get, like, further and further in the exchange. So first I would be able to answer and then ask, but, you know, they would be gone. And so after maybe 6 or 8 months, I finally did my first full, "Hey, how's it going? Hi, how are you?" exchange.
Nice.
So.
And now you have it down to a science.
Yeah.
What's the... do you come from a big family?
Depends on how you define that. I have two sisters, but both of my parents have lots of brothers and sisters, so...
So you have a lot of cousins?
Yeah. Tons.
Were you always, like, into comedy and stuff?
Not really, no.
Is there a lot of American comedy there, or is there, I can't think of, like, a Belgian, stand-up comedian or anything?
Neither can I. There's a very small Belgian stand-up world, and I have a few friends that are in it, but, well, you have to imagine, like, this is a country that has 11 million people and three language groups, which can't really exchange comedy.
Right.
So you can imagine that the market is really small. And so especially stand-up in Belgium is tiny. So I got into theater, the normal theater way, by taking acting classes.
Cool. Mm-hmm. When did you start, what age did you start doing that, would you say? Unless you don't want to.
I think I was 11. There were classes at the local conservatory that they called diction classes. Does that make sense in English?
Diction?
Uh-huh.
Like speaking?
Like, yeah, pronunciation.
Yeah.
And so you'd have to do 2 years of that before you could do any acting. because obviously everybody mispronounces everything. so we needed 2 years of correction.
Wait, you were acting in English? Or?
No, that was Dutch.
Okay.
Yeah. So I did that. It was funny because I was only there because my older sister wanted to do that, and I was much younger than anybody else in the class, but they let me in because of my sister.
But did you like being on... It was plays, you said, right?
Yeah.
You like being on stage? Even at that age?
I liked it, but I never liked learning lines. I always hated that. And I also thought that sometimes the characters had stupid lines. I feel like always in the back of my mind there was this question. I was like, how could I act without ever having to memorize a line or say a line that I don't want to say? I guess there isn't such a thing.
I recently did some sketch stuff, and remembering the lines it's not easy. Even if you know the lines going in, like once you're in it, you're just like, oh man, like what am I supposed to say here? And then it's tough.
Yeah.
And I can't. These are just short sketches, which like basically what I would do is just listen for like the line preceding the line I need to say.
Uh-huh.
Yep. I was in some sketches. I probably couldn't even tell you the premise of just because I was just spitting out my lines.
Right.
Yep.
So what were your comedy influences when you were younger? Like, what did you think was funny?
Oh, that's a really good question. What did I think was funny? I grew up surrounded by dad jokes. in my family we would make a lot of puns, so I grew up doing that. I sort of miss it because it's one of the things that's really hard in a foreign language, like really hard.
Yeah.
But so that's
because everything sounds literal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's tough. I grew up surrounded by that sort of stuff, and then there was a little bit of stand up on TV, and I would always like that. I think I liked almost every style of stand-up that I could get my hands on. But honestly, like, I don't think I grew up surrounded by comedic theater or anything like that at all.
Yeah. I think for some reason, I go, like, if I had to cite one thing, I think I'd go with The Simpsons for some reason. Like,
oh, yeah.
That was the first time, like, I saw humor and, like, realize like sarcasm was funny and like kind of subverting what you expect can be funny, and just instead of like just growing, I grew up in the 80s and like it were just these cheesy sitcoms where it's pretty much what you expect to happen in every episode is exactly what happens.
Uh-huh.
And that's, you know, until I saw like something like The Simpsons, that's what I thought was funny. And I even remember one time my uncle was watching me watch Growing Pains, and he's like, why are you watching this? I'm like, it's funny. He's like, it's not funny. And in hindsight, like, I've gone back and watched it. I'm like, oh, this is not good at all. So.
Actually, this is going to sound super nerdy, but I feel like the humor that I did grow up with was funny books. And it's sort of nice because the experience of laughing out loud with a book, it's very rare, but when it happens, it's so satisfying.
Yeah.
And you know, if you reread that book, you'll probably laugh at the same passage again. And it's just, it always seems like magical to me that those symbols on a page could like make me laugh out loud or cry. Or.
Do you write at all?
Not really. I write boring scientific articles.
Do you work for a science? Different company?
No, but I was a student up until now, and I'm going to be a PhD student starting next year, so I'll be doing a lot of very dry writing.
I work for a biotech company, so it's pretty dry.
Yeah.
So at what point, what made you decide to come to America for school?
Yes and no. But mostly no. I met my boyfriend in Switzerland when we were both traveling. And when I met him, he was about to come to the U.S.
So you were traveling not together, and you
just met
Switzerland.
Yep.
Oh, that's romantic.
It was super romantic because I met him one night in a bar, and then the next night I had him over for dinner, and then the day after that I had to leave for Belgium, so we spent 2.5 days together.
This is crazy. Have you seen the movie Before Sunrise?
Yeah.
It sounds like that.
It was like that, but a little bit less cheesy.
I like that movie.
Oh, less cheesy. Okay. Because you guys aren't cheesy.
Oh, not at all. So I met him, and I already knew that he was going to come here. So we had about 4 months where he was still in Italy, so we would do these weekends where I would go to see him or he would come to see me in Belgium. But I met him in September, and in January he had to move here. So at that point I started thinking about how I could arrange to be here as well. And then I started applying to schools. And so it took another year and a half, I guess, until we knew for sure that I was going to be able to live here with him.
Cool. And you've been here for how many years?
Oh my gosh. There was a period where I was going back and forth, but I would say maybe 3 years now, yeah.
And at what point did you get into improv?
That was when I was still in Belgium.
Oh.
So I went to college in Belgium, and I discovered improv in my last year of college.
Is there a big improv scene there?
Not really. So the college improv team that I was with was the only college improv team in Belgium. So I hadn't heard about them, so it was very sad. I joined, and I had a really good time with them for a year. And
what were they called?
They're called Prepari.
Does that have a translation?
Okay. It's a super difficult concept to translate, because it involves eating raw meat. Prepari is, it's a sandwich spread that's made out of raw beef. It's delicious, but préparé is also French for prepared, so it was kind of silly because we were the most unprepared actors ever. And it was a very like jolly bunch of super young people who were trying to teach themselves how to play improv.
How was, is there a lot of difference between how you improvise in Belgium versus in America?
Well, it's sort of hard to tell because there I would play short form, and here I switched to long form. But in general, I think what people are doing is similar. The only thing that I realized was when I talked to a guy who was American but who'd played improv in Spain for a while, and he said that European improvisers take a lot of time to set the stage and the surroundings at the top of scenes, and that was totally true for me. I was super frazzled in the beginning when I started playing improv here by people just like jumping on stage and saying the first line without doing any object work.
I had Jeremy Brothers, who's the creative director of Improv Asylum, on, and at the time they had a branch that just opened in Dublin, and he was saying the same thing, that before they even get to the premise, they just talk like normal people do, like about the news of the day or something before they get into the scene. And that was something he was trying to get them to just kind of move faster, just to get to the premise. So, only if hearing two examples, I don't know, it sounds like it's true.
Yes, that's funny. So, no, there's several of us who feel that way.
And you're moving back to Belgium?
No, I'm staying here, actually.
Oh.
I'm starting my PhD program here.
Cool. So are you guys going to continue the Belgian waffles thing?
Yeah, we're definitely going to continue playing. Hi.
Oh. Cool.
Hi.
Hey. That's awesome. So, Courtney, where are you from originally?
Well, somewhere just nearly as exotic and exciting as Belgium. I'm from New Jersey. Southern New Jersey. Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Are you from a large family?
No.
Why ask? Large.
I was asking for a large family. Is there a correlation between large families
I don't
and
know.
Comedy?
I feel like if you're in a big family, you have to tell a lot of jokes to stand out.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
Thinking
the
no,
same
that,
thing.
That
like
totally
you have to,
makes sense.
You have to be funny to stand out.
Yeah. I grew up with an older brother and sister, and it was the baby of the family, so I didn't have to do anything to get attention. I just was the baby. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Sure. when did you get into improv?
Super recently, and like only a few years ago, and I think compared to a lot of people, like relatively late in life. Like I was in my late 30s when I got into it, and I had like no performance background, no theater background. Actually, like actively eschewed improv for years. It was only a few years ago.
So you started doing improv in Boston.
In Boston, yeah.
What triggered you to want to do it?
So I saw a good high school friend, Allie Sewell, come. She performed at ID. She does improv in Philadelphia, and I only went to see the show because she's such a dear, dear friend, and. The backstory is that in college, my first love, Nathan Lamont, got into improv right before we broke up, and he kind of became like this very successful improv guy on campus, and then he broke my heart. See?
Yeah,
right?
And then
yeah.
you were like,
yeah,
fuck that.
So fuck that, and
yeah.
fuck improv
yeah.
is like for the next 20 years.
This sounds like a movie where like the college like football quarterback punk guy, but
instead it's
an improviser.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Oh.
And I was like, phew. Anyway, but so then my friend Allie came. I was like, you have to come. I was like, okay. And I went. I was like, this is improv. Oh my goodness. So.
And you're like, I want to do that?
Well, that was kind of like a slow boil. It's like that planted the seed, and I was kind of in transition, like coming out of a long relationship and kind of just looking, I don't know, looking for something creative, I guess. And it really seemed like the last thing I would ever do, not just because of Nathan Lamont, just because.
He's getting a lot of name drops.
I hope he hears this. No, I'm over him.
For you.
I'm totally over him. Oh my God. Anyway, but I've like always been really shy and introverted, and like so it seemed like wow, improv is this great challenge. Like I would never willingly get up in front of anyone to do anything ever. So I thought I might stretch myself.
Did you? How did you start? By taking classes?
Yep. Yeah, I went through the IB, program.
You went through the whole program?
Yeah.
Nice. When did you finish?
Oh gosh, I think 2012, right around the time Clara and I met.
We met right after you graduated
something
from IB.
Like that. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Cool.
Yeah.
Have you tried out for the general auditions?
Oh, God.
Oh, my
gosh. Yes, once. That was terrifying
really?
And horrible.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know
okay.
that. Good for you.
Yeah, okay.
It's not something you would want to do again? Or?
Maybe. That was a couple of years ago, and I hopefully am a little less green. But, I mean, everyone was great. I was not great, but that's fine. But everyone was lovely.
I'm sure everybody was great except for you.
I mean, in the sense that, you know, the way that people are so nice. Yeah.
So how did you two meet?
Because Courtney put an announcement on the IB community Facebook page that she was looking for people to form a team with. And I was here and I didn't have anybody to play improv with, so I got super enthusiastic when I saw her ad.
Nice. And you just started the two-person group then, or?
No.
Yeah, we were a group of 5 or 6, I think, for about a year.
You had a different name?
Yeah.
Yep.
We were called Rump Town.
Rump Town?
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
It was an all-female improv group, or at least for most of its existence. And so when it fell apart, Courtney and I realized that we really wanted to play together, keep playing together.
Nice.
And it's totally to Clara's credit that, like, I don't know if I revealed this to you at first, but I was... He's trying to eat lint. Sorry. No, or a rock.
Yeah.
A rock.
He's trying to get that away.
Oh, thank you.
So there's a Waggish? Is that
Waggish? Is
the dog.
Waggish the dog is here. He just tried to eat a rock.
Who has been?
That was
improv. Very smart.
He's
very smart.
Very well behaved.
He's not bad. But so when Clara was first like, oh, let's practice just the two of us. Like secretly, I was like.
You were super scared?
I was super scared.
How have you found doing two-person improv? Have you enjoyed it? And, like, what are the pros and cons you've found?
Well, I feel like there's a ton of pros. One of which is that we know each other really well, and we trust each other. And it's just a pleasure to be on stage only with people that you know and trust very much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's such an honor, and so comfortable. So that's really nice. And of course, that also means that we have a ton of experience playing with one another. And so we were able to sort of predict each other's moves. And we know that, you know, we're not going to do things to one another that we wouldn't be able to take. So that's really nice. Also, zero drama.
You two are good friends.
Yeah, and we became better friends as we played together.
You hesitated.
What?
Drama.
We were good friends. Anyway,
we're
improv
pretty good
partners. Like, whatever. That's okay. All right. My feelings aren't hurt.
Not at all.
So where you guys are now in your improv careers, how do you feel and where do you ultimately want to go?
We're both really shy. And so the short-term goal for us is to not be scared when we get on stage. Because right now we're super, super nervous. So that's, I think, the first long-term goal.
Well, there's a ton of shows coming out, indie shows.
And thanks to you.
Yeah,
like,
thanks to people like you, there's a ton of ways for us to, like, perform at a small scale, so it's really nice to be able to get into it that way.
Yeah, we're really, truly grateful to you.
Yeah.
Well, thanks.
So,
no, really, because, I mean, if it wasn't for people like you, we would not be performing.
Right.
So it's
I
think it's super important for teams like us that...
Absolutely.
...that are trying to get a feel for what works with an audience.
Cool. And what about you?
I mean, so we've had two performances in front of audiences, and they've been terrifying, but really exciting.
I thought they were both really good.
Thank you. So I feel like it's given us some really nice momentum, and we're going to keep doing it until basically we take over the entire improv scene in Boston.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Do you have any?
So when we become the TJ and Dave of Boston, which one should be the TJ? Like, would it be CS and Clara? Or I don't know.
We haven't
figured that out. I guess that's a goal.
There will be Tyaras though. Maybe a sector. No. Anyway. Yeah.
All right. Do you guys have anything coming up or anything you want to leave us with?
We have a show in September.
Nice. Yep. What is it and where?
It's at the Riot. It's at Indie Night at the Riot. I think it's September 10th.
Uh-huh.
Clara will be in Belgium for a while, so we'll see. Our performances will be on hiatus. We should also mention, or I would like to mention, we've been part of a practice group on Sunday mornings called PIP, which stands for Practice, Improve, Perform, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. That practices here at 50 Vassar.
MIT.
That's MIT, sorry, yeah. That's been a really great practice group for us, too.
Yeah, and we're always looking for people who are advanced or semi-advanced performers who just need more practice, who are done with classes for a while and who are either looking for a team or just looking to get experience playing. And we tend to get really lovely instructors, different ones, every week or every few weeks. So,
and if somebody wanted to get in touch regarding that, how would they go about that?
There's a Facebook group called the PIP Community. It should be easy to find.
Yeah.
I think PIP Community.
Mm-hmm.
On Facebook. Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, Clara. Thank you, Courtney.
Thank you, Tom.
And thank you for listening. Bye.